This episode is brought to you by Huggies Little Movers.
Listen, Huggies knows that babies come in all shapes and sizes, and so do their tushies.
Especially when they start really moving.
With Huggies Little Movers, you get their best-fitting diaper with its curved and stretchy fit.
That's right. So no matter what kind of mover you've got, they'll feel protected and comfy while their little tushy wiggles and jiggles all around.
Huggies Little Movers has curves designed to fit all baby curves, and helps provide up to 12-hour protection against leaks.
So, make the switch to Huggies Little Movers today.
We got you, baby.
When it comes to Pod Meets World, we're synonymous with two things. Watching our younger selves on a TV show from 30 years ago, and loving Hyundai.
The first ever fully electric Hyundai Ioniq 5.
With up to 303-mile range, available two-way charging, and other category-defining features, the fully electric Hyundai Ioniq 5 is one of the most teched-out electric vehicles ever.
And as you know, we are tech heads.
The standard ultra-fast charging capability gives you an 80% charge in just 18 minutes when using a 250-plus kilowatt DC fast charger.
And with the available two-way charging, you can charge larger electronic equipment inside and outside the car, backyard or side yard.
Hyundai, it's your journey. Learn more at HyundaiUSA.com.
Call 562-314-4603 for complete details. 2024 Ioniq 5 rear-wheel drive has an EPA estimated driving range of up to 303 miles. Actual range will vary with options, driving conditions and habits, vehicle and batteries condition, and other factors. Available in limited quantities and select states only. When I'm on my way to drop off the kids at school and I'm on about 5 hours of sleep and I haven't had my coffee yet, I'm truly one of a kind.
Yeah, this sounds like the beginning of a horror movie.
It is. But there is one thing I can do immediately to bring some comfort and calm to the situation and keep me moving forward. Eat Keebler Sandies.
I like to think that if the good-looking guy was still around, sitting on the couch, comforting himself about not getting into college, he'd ditch the Cocoa Puffs and down some Keebler Sandies instead.
Mixed with chocolate syrup?
Ooh, why not?
When you need a comforting moment for yourself, Keebler Sandies is the perfect treat to keep you going.
Each Keebler Sandies shortbread cookie is baked to perfection by the Keebler elves for a light sweetness and a texture that melts in your mouth.
The next time you feel like you're juggling it all, reach for Keebler Sandies shortbread cookies to enjoy a simple moment of comfort.
With the Wells Fargo Active Cash Credit Card, you can earn unlimited 2% cash rewards on purchases you want and purchases you need.
That means you earn on what you want, like trying out that new workout class.
And 2% cash rewards on what you need, like a foam roller for your sore muscles.
That's the beauty of the Active Cash Credit Card. It's ready when you are with unlimited 2% cash rewards.
The Wells Fargo Active Cash Credit Card. That's real life ready.
Terms apply. Learn more at wellsfargo.com/activecash.
Steve's having a baby.
Help us out.
When did that start?
I have no idea.
So that was...
Steve was having a baby.
It was probably. Steve was having a why am I blanking on our second stage manager's name? Michael O'Shea.
Yeah.
Michael Shea was our second stage man, or second AD. And that would have been fifth season, I think, or sixth season. And then Steve Hafer went off to, because his kid was being born. And Michael Shea, who I didn't realize his dad was like a legendary director.
Yeah.
A legendary
really?
Television. Yeah. Yeah. So he's like television royalty. He's like big in the DGA and like, yeah. And I totally didn't know that, of course, because all grownups were just the same.
Same life experience.
And he was really stressed out taking over Steve's job. And I remember him, you know, just in order to keep us going, we'd be like, help us out. Steve's having a baby. Come on, guys. Steve's having a baby. And that was just to keep us. And so then we repeated it for the next 3 years.
Oh, yeah.
Our ending video.
Everywhere. Steve's having a baby. All the time. By the way, I will put a picture of, because I have a great picture of me and Didi DeStefano, Michael Shea, and Steve Hafer. I'll put that on the Pod Meets World Show Instagram.
Nice.
And
Michael Shea and I didn't always get along.
I think a lot of people had that experience.
With me or with Michael?
honestly, a lot of people didn't get along with you, Will.
Will, you're a hard to get along with.
Michael, I remember Michael did the AIDS ride. Do you guys remember that? He remember the, you know, they still do it, right? You did it. That's right.
Rusty's like, hello.
That's right. That's right.
All the way down San Francisco to Los Angeles.
Wow.
It's a long ride.
That's a long time.
That's that flight's like 45 minutes. So
I'm sore from a workout I did yesterday, so I know what you mean.
Yes, I'm sore from Danielle's workout yesterday.
let's get into the episode. Welcome to Pod Meets World. I'm Danielle Fishel.
Will Friedle.
And I'm Ryder Strong.
And we have with us here William Rusty Russ. We just know him as Rusty. You know him as Alan Matthews.
Hello, everybody.
Yes. Yeah.
So this was a great episode to have you on the pod because this was a great Alan Matthews episode. You have a few great dad episodes, but this one in particular, I loved. I thought you're always wonderful, but boy, this episode for me really, I cried. I'm not going to lie. I had a little tear.
Did you? Oh my God. Well, of course, really? I'm watching it with Indy. I'm sitting there like, oh my, I couldn't believe how stupid I felt. I was God, I'm tearing up.
I teared up.
Came out of nowhere. I was like, oh, this is why Boy Meets World was so good.
Yes.
It totally got me. I mean,
As the only one of the three of us, the four of us sitting here smart enough not to have children, I did not cry at all.
Oh my gosh.
So I had no sense of that.
I didn't see
all.
It coming.
I didn't either. Yeah. The Superman, when he looks out the window. Okay, we're just getting ahead of ourselves.
I do think that this is probably the episode that defined Alan Matthews.
Yes.
Because in the pilot, you had a nice exchange with Ben where he finally realizes that he abandoned you at one point. You know, like that's the storyline. But you kind of downplay it, and it doesn't land the way that this. You know, and also I feel like this is probably where we learned that Alan. What he does for a living.
Yes.
They defined his job in this episode because
and
later on in this
lot.
Season, we get Lenny Spinelli,
the
great late Willie Garson, who came on a couple episodes. But this is really, I think, where the show discovered Alan is and what Alan does, which is, it's so lovely. It's such a lovely episode.
Now, before we get into it, you obviously watched this episode. Before watching this episode, when was the last time you saw an episode of Boy Meets World? Hmm.
My goodness. I don't know. I can't even remember.
Really?
Did you
watch them? Once in a while, once in a while I watch them. Somebody asked me something and I was like, I don't remember that. Let me see.
Did you watch them when they were on in the 90s?
No, actually I didn't.
Wow.
Because I was, because they were on Friday nights.
Mm-hmm. You had an active, very busy life.
Yeah, I actually was not home on Friday nights. And, it wasn't like we were streaming in those days.
No.
Outside the covered wagon, but I had to feed the oxen.
Did you have the episodes on VHS? Because I remember at the end of every season, we would have the opportunity to buy it. Do you guys remember that?
Are you kidding me? Disney they were so expensive. It was like $300, and then we got to buy them four episodes per VHS.
That's right.
And it was $300.
My parents did it every year.
For the whole season.
Oh,
wow. I don't even
but
remember.
But Disney
that.
Would offer that to us as like a, basically to have it as a memorabilia of like, and my parents, I think, did it every year.
So
did
we. 600 VHS tapes.
Yeah, we'd have stacks. I don't know if my parents still have them, but we had every episode on VHS.
Before the DVD box set came out, we paid more money to convert them to DVD. And then you could buy them on Amazon for like $11.99, and I was like, what did we do this for?
There's a lot of used ones out. Those are my favorite ones. Like, I'm selling my used season 3 of Boy Meets World. Like, okay. Interesting.
So if you missed it on Friday night, Rusty, that was it.
Could always see it. I could always ask to see it. But, I have to say, just in general, I would never watch things that I did.
And
first of all, as an actor, I was afraid it'd make you self-conscious.
Right.
I remember my famous old acting teacher, Sandy Miser, said, you never watch yourself, because then you become self-conscious. And I my family was always upset with me. Oh, I didn't know you were on TV. Or I didn't know you did this movie. Or I didn't know that. It was just my personal thing, for better or for worse. I do it for the work. And I don't, it's hard to watch it. I mean, I've gotten better as I've gotten older because I just don't care.
Is there any show you were on that you watched? Anything that you were like, I watched Wise Guy quite a bit, or any show? No, never.
No.
Wow.
I've been surprised by actors who watch the monitor, watch playback now, you know, which is something that didn't exist until the 90s. And now it's a standard thing to have playback on a set.
And it can be very helpful.
Well, it's what's crazy to me is I hear somebody, Jeff Bridges apparently is a huge playback watcher.
Really?
Which doesn't make, when you watch his performances, they're effortless, right? It almost seems like, he seems like the least self-conscious. And yet he apparently is one of those actors who watches a monitor, watches his playback, adjusts performance based on seeing the playback. That would drive me insane.
Like, or somebody like Robert Redford apparently has never seen anything he's ever been in.
Right. I mean, that I'm with you, Rusty. Like, I couldn't, I tried to watch the show, and that's one of the reasons I didn't, is because I just got insecure, but I also didn't want to be aware of my body or my face in a way that would, for me, seem like an impediment to acting.
It can make you less spontaneous.
Right.
The great gift you have as a good actor, as you all are, is that you can be spontaneous in front of the camera.
Be present,
and
live in the moment.
Once you start, at least for me, once I start watching myself, it's not so much anymore that I don't really take it that seriously. But sometimes actors will look at it just to see if there's a feather standing over their head.
Right.
So this shot isn't going to work. And it depends. You know, also, it wasn't like I was in any position to go, oh, we have to do that again.
Yeah.
I'm just the actor.
But I mean, we were just talking in the break here about how, you know, you were on Sopranos, which then led me to, you were also on West Wing. I mean, you've been on some of the greatest television shows ever. Like,
Deadwood,
literally
Deadwood,
ever.
Yeah.
Deadwood. So I mean, you name it, you've been on. Briscoe County. I mean, you were on some of the
and
greatest
shows
of all time.
And that's just your TV career.
Exactly.
I mean, we didn't even touch on some of your movies.
On the films.
American History X, Cruisin', as I mentioned, which, by the way, it was a showing at the New Beverly.
American History X.
American History X. Your performance in that movie is amazing. And the way that you humanize the awfulness, it's so smart, you know, to cast you because you're so likable and you're so reasonable and rational. And then you're just spouting this hate so casually. And you could just see how like, that's how this spreads, is that there's a dad at the table not being an evil villain that's like
good
cackling. He's like, you're a good guy, you know?
Yeah.
You were basically playing like my dad, a firefighter, you know, like, and oh my God, I remember when that movie came out, it blew me away.
Ethan Suplee too. There's a big Boy Meets World contingent in that an incredible film. Yeah, that was, and then so you go from American History X to On the Fence, which is-
How did you feel watching this episode?
Oh, this episode. It was interesting. I watched it and it's just, I was very interested. I hadn't seen it. And I was actually kind of moved by it too.
Yeah.
And being the dad, I kind of went, oh, this is what makes Michael Jacobs so great.
Yes.
Because all of a sudden you get to a point in the story, and the story's really about letting a kid be a kid.
Yeah.
You know, and it's about understanding and love. And it was I was quite thrilled to watch it.
But that's also the genius of it, is because when you watch it as somebody, as a kid watching TGIF, it's about finding out that your parents or a specific parent at the time is what they do in their life. And they are more than what you see. And while you're always working, always doing this, you still have time for me. You still have time. And then when you watch as adults, you're crying because it's about letting a kid be a kid. So it is really... You get different things the different ages you are when you watch the show, which is still holds up to the writing. I mean, at the end of the day, that's what it's about, is it's like you get one thing when you watch it as an adult. You get something completely different when you watch it as a kid. That's rare to have that.
That's not a bad segue for A Few Minutes with Indy, actually, if we want to play it back, because I watched it as I has become the new tradition. I watched this episode with my 7-year-old son. And I recorded a conversation with him. It starts off because I started recording. He was like, what are we doing this for? And I was like, well, we're putting it on the podcast. So his first question is this going to make me famous?
Nice.
It's easy for us to strike up a streaming service or bust out a DVD to watch our childhoods. But for actual home movies, it's not that easy. That's why we want to tell you about our friends at Legacy Box.
Legacy Box is the safest and easiest way to digitize those old school memories you have as VHS tapes, stacks of pictures, or those little camcorder cassettes that you'd have no idea how to play now.
And Mother's Day is right around the corner. There's no better gift for the whole family than giving them a way to relive moments like a wedding day or your first steps or that time you fell into the pool at Uncle Rick's house on the 4th of July. The patio was slippery, okay?
Legacy Box takes it all. 15 different types of analog media, even photo negatives. They professionally digitize by hand right here in the USA and then send you back a thumb drive or upload it to the cloud, as well as return your originals.
We recently used Legacy Box to get some VHS tapes converted. Truthfully, we had no idea what was even on them. And we were thrilled to see one of them was my husband's first shave. His parents recorded it, and now we have this incredible memory to watch that we didn't even know existed. It was safe and easy, and it means a lot to us.
Join over 1.5 million families that have trusted Legacy Box with their memories.
Go to legacybox.com/world to save 60% during their best Mother's Day sale ever.
That's legacybox.com/world.
Danielle, tell us a little about your hydration style. Let's say you're thirsty. Are you chugging a glass, taking little sips, pouring it over your head like it's Flashdance? What's going on?
Well, we recently started karate, and the minute we get out of karate, we have been bringing our liquid IV, dumping it into some water, and I chug it because I am parched.
That is absolutely true. Well, I can tell you how I quench my thirst. Thank you so much for asking. It's with liquid IV.
With 3 times the electrolytes of the leading sports drink.
And 8 vitamins and nutrients for everyday wellness.
It really does quench your thirst faster than water alone, and it tastes good.
And with no artificial sweeteners and zero sugar, it's your time to try it.
Flavor-wise, I'm partial to pear and green grape. It's a perfect way to hydrate before a big day, especially if you've been up late the night before, which, honestly, I never am, but I'm somehow still tired.
I like white peach. It reminds me of being classy, and I want to swirl it and comment on what year I think it was made, and I think it was this year.
And it's incredibly conveniently packaged. You can just carry it in your pocket all day and then add it to your water. Bingo. Tastes great, and your thirst is quenched, and carpe diem.
I've used it after our long flights to live shows, and it worked to make me feel refreshed and ready to talk about MASH.
However you hydrate, grab your Liquid IV Hydration Multiplier sugar-free in bulk nationwide at Costco.
Or get 20% off your first order when you go to liquidiv.com and use the code WORLD at checkout.
That's 20% off your first order when you shop Better Hydration today using promo code WORLD at liquidiv.com.
This episode is brought to you by Huggies Little Movers.
Listen, Huggies knows that babies come in all shapes and sizes, and so do their tushies.
Especially when they start really moving.
With Huggies Little Movers, you get their best-fitting diaper with its curved and stretchy fit.
That's right. So no matter what kind of mover you've got, they'll feel protected and comfy while their little tushy wiggles and jiggles all around.
Huggies Little Movers has curves designed to fit all baby curves and helps provide up to 12-hour protection against leaks.
So make the switch to Huggies Little Movers today.
We got you, baby. When it comes to Pod Meets World, we're synonymous with 2 things. Watching our younger selves on a TV show from 30 years ago and loving Hyundai.
If we could, we would take Hyundai to prom.
Technically, Hyundai is more visible on this show than Topanga.
The first ever fully electric Hyundai Ioniq 5.
With up to a 303-mile range, available two-way charging, and other category-defining features, the fully electric Hyundai Ioniq 5 is one of the most teched-out electric vehicles ever.
Say teched out again.
Nope, that was a one-time show. Snooze, you lose.
Well, either way, the Hyundai Ioniq 5 is a tech-forward electric SUV.
The standard ultra-fast charging capability gives you an 80% charge in just 18 minutes when using a 250-plus kilowatt DC fast charger.
So that means your car won't die out like the Matthews family vehicle on New Year's Eve, forcing me to miss out on kissing supermodel Rebecca Alexa in front of all of Philadelphia.
And with available two-way charging, you can charge larger electronic equipment inside and outside the car. Backyard or side yard.
Hyundai, it's your journey. Learn more at HyundaiUSA.com.
Call 562-314-4603 for complete details. 2024 Ioniq 5 rear-wheel drive has an EPA estimated driving range of up to 303 miles. Actual range will vary with options, driving conditions and habits, vehicle and batteries condition, and other factors. Available in limited quantities and select states only.
Hey, Bachelor fans, it's Ben Higgins.
And Ashley I from the Almost Famous podcast.
The new season of The Bachelorette returns to TV July 11th. With not one, but 2 bachelorettes, as Rachel and Gabby will both be competing for love.
And since we've all been waiting so long for this, we're bringing you nonstop exclusive content, interviews, and behind-the-scenes secrets, all the Bachelor Nation juice you can handle.
We're talking roses, tears, hookups, more tears. We've got all the insider info for the new season of The Bachelorette.
But there's only one place to get that, and that's by listening to the Almost Famous podcast.
Trust us, you won't want to miss a thing. So subscribe and start listening, because
we're starting the pre-party now, and then we'll continue with coverage and breakdowns.
Literally and figuratively.
Throughout the entire season.
The Almost Famous podcast. We're like your own personal fantasy suite for all things Bachelor and Bachelorette.
Wait, could I be famous if this happens?
I guess so. At least your voice could be famous.
My voice? Nobody even knows who I look like.
Yeah, why don't you describe yourself?
Short hair?
A little shaggy right now, actually.
Bushy hair.
Yeah. But you have long bangs in the front.
Freckles?
Yeah. You have freckles all the way across your nose and your cheeks. What color eyes?
Blue.
What color hair?
Blue.
It is blue right now, but it's fading. We dyed it.
Totally.
How long ago did we dye it? Like two.
Only 2 weeks ago.
All right, but it's gone gray as it goes back.
By the way, I'm 7.
All right, we're gonna sit down and watch another episode of my show. Do you remember what it's called?
The boy. Yeah, let's do it.
All right, squirt guns, painting the fence. What'd you think, Indy?
Still too much shirts. What?
Actually, you commented on the vest.
Oh, the vests, yeah.
Vests everywhere.
A lot of vests in the beginning. Right. Weird. And the mustache dude came back.
What, Mr. Feeny?
Yeah, the Feeny.
Yeah. Do you think Corey learned anything this episode?
Not really.
Really?
Nah. No, I was too focused on you still.
Me? I was barely in it again. Actually, I had a bigger part this time. What did you think of the squirt guns?
Yours was cool.
Cool.
The nerds was dumb. It had a rubber band in the middle. Kind of weird.
Wait, you called him a nerd. What's a nerd?
A math nerd. Like a science nerd.
What does that mean?
Like, I don't know.
But you just knew that he was a nerd character?
Yeah.
Why?
He's always like so protective. And he loves math. And he just like tries to be safe and stuff. I do not like older kids with buck teeth.
Dude, you are missing one of your front teeth. I don't think you're one to talk right now.
Oh, okay.
All right, so did you like him, though, as a character? I thought he was really funny.
Yeah, but he was in a banana suit. So.
What about when Corey got all wet in the beginning? You seemed to like that.
Yeah. I thought that Feeny dude was talking sense when he said the water fountain wasn't a toy.
Very true. What about the little sister, man? She killed me. I thought she was so funny.
She's the best.
Yeah.
She should have called 911.
Oh, my God. That was
I feel like she should. I would have done that. If they were having a water gun fight and they shot the neighbor, yes. I'd call 911.
I don't think that would be the appropriate thing to do, but all right. What about the whole thing? Did you notice that in the beginning of the episode, he says, Corey, they're talking about which superhero you'd want to be your dad?
Yeah.
And then he has that moment when he's watching his dad paint the fence, and he says, it's like my dad's Superman?
Yeah.
What did you think of that?
That's kind of cool.
Yeah, man, I got kind of emotional. Because it was like earlier in the beginning of the episode, he kind of was, I don't know, like not thinking about his dad's feelings and how hard his dad was working.
What superhero would you want your dad to be?
Oh, excellent question. Let's get into the real thing. I mean, it's really hard to not think Superman. I mean, you'd want the most powerful superhero ever.
Your mom?
Wonder Woman, I guess. What about you?
Say my mom, maybe Batgirl.
Okay.
Dad, I'd say Spider-Man.
Ooh.
Yeah, even though I hate superheroes.
Since when?
I don't like superheroes. They're weird.
What's weird about them?
They're just like, oh, we gotta save this. Oh. Then their scene is playing.
It sounds to me like you're talking.
Evil villain.
It sounds to me like you're talking about the movies. Like you don't really like the superhero movies.
They're horrible. And the shows, they're like, oh no, I gotta save Lois Lane. I'm a square head and I'm Superman.
So, is it safe to say that you like Boy Meets World better than superhero shows?
Yes. Yeah.
All right. I think that's a good, that's a compliment.
Anything else you want to add?
Oh, how did the sister get the phone? She was always on the counter.
Great question.
Unbelievable.
It ended with a really good question.
That is a good question there.
But to your point, Will, it was like we had watched two different shows.
Exactly.
If you notice, he identifies with Lily.
Yeah.
Like, he's basically like, oh, the sister's the best. And he's more concerned. I would have called 911. And then the squirt guns and the nerds, you know, whereas I'm sitting there trying to be like, did you notice the dad?
Yeah.
And like, he's absorbing that too, but it's not nearly as important as like, well, who would you want as your superhero? You know, and that balance, the way that the show is a family show in the true sense that a family can watch it together, enjoy it, but have completely different interpretations or different experiences of that show.
But it also leads to, which we got into further episodes when Lily wasn't on the show anymore, where it's like, why would they bring, we don't need the little sister, why would they bring her back? And it's like, well, look at that audience. Yeah. There's a whole, an audience connected to every one of the characters on the show that they bring a different audience with them, which again, I didn't know any, you know, I don't know anything about that. So at the time it was like, we don't need the little sister. And then it's like, oh no, you do. There's a whole group of people out there that will identify with that character.
Yeah.
So it's amazing.
I am obsessed with, by the way, that segment we are calling Too Much Shirts.
Yeah.
That's my favorite segment so far we do on the podcast. It's just Too Much Shirts with Indy
is amazing.
The absolute best.
Too Much Shirts.
So let's jump into the recap. Let me give you a synopsis of the episode. When Corey's parents don't give him the money to buy a water gun for the class's water fight, he strikes a deal with Mr. Feeney to paint his shutters, and Feeney will give him the money for the gun. Corey rushes through the job, and an accident occurs.
Ooh.
So this episode was directed by David Trainer, who we have already mentioned. His name has already come up like three times on the podcast. The writers were Michael Jacobs, April Kelly, and Jeff Sherman. And it's, you know, they have starring here. We all know who it's starring.
Starring all of us.
Us amazing people.
Well, not you yet, but.
All right, sure. Not me.
And guest starring. I think the guest star is important because it's, I think, the only time we saw him, isn't it?
Yes. Dewan Guy is his character name is Ellis. Does anybody say his name Ellis on the show?
I don't think so. Because I had the same thought. I was like, well, wait, what was that character's name? And we never mention it.
Yeah.
But he's great.
He's so good.
He's so funny. How do you get to be a ward? Well, this is the introduction of the death chair, unfortunately.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Let's recap the death chair,
so
please.
So the death chair is the chair that Dewan is sitting in.
Yeah.
In the cafeteria, we go through these first episodes. And this was not the first episode we shot after the pilot. They aired out of order. So this was probably episode 3 or 4 of actual shooting. And so by this time, we had probably already, Dewan was probably not the first one to sit in that chair in the cafeteria. So we'll see in the other episodes that we end up, I believe Marty York sits in that chair.
Chauncey Leopardi was in the pilot.
But yeah, so we started making the joke that this is the death chair because the kid, they can't. Because
whoever sat in this
third chair seat
usually did one episode and then did not come back.
If they were lucky enough to do one episode, there were times where halfway through a rehearsal, the person would be gone. It's just like, oh, that's it. You're gone.
Yeah.
So it was tough to be to be Corey's third friend was not an easy thing to do in town.
All right. So in the cold open, Corey and Sean and Dewan are talking about which superhero they would want to be their dad.
Which is all Michael Jacobs, by the way, because Michael Jacobs is such a
comic.
It was known for a vast comic book collection. And so there would be many a comic book or superhero reference that would happen during Boy Meets World. Yeah. So he was anytime you hear anything superhero, it's all Michael.
Yep.
Yeah.
Okay. And so Sean and the friend pull out their water gun and they spray Minkus. They just completely douse him in water. I know.
It's also, we should mention, this is the first time we see
Lee Norris as Minkus. Yeah, this is the first time we meet Minkus. So we see his name, Lee Norris, in the opening credits in the pilot episode. He just didn't appear in the pilot episode. Right. This is the first time we see this character. And Minkus then pulls out his water gun, and it's actually way bigger than everybody else's, puts everybody else's water guns to shame.
Him taking up the giant like cello case or whatever was really funny because Lee was a very small kid and they had this giant cello and you see him have to like muscle that thing up on the table to pop it open old school. Yeah, it was cool.
Yeah, it was really cute. I thought it was cute that they even to have the case like that where you think it's going to be a violin or a cello or something, and then it's
and this water. Was the era of the Super Soaker. Like, oh, this was yeah. very, very '90s timely. Like, I remember in real life, these things were so cool.
Yes.
And we couldn't call, I mean, Super Soakers were the brand, I believe, that sort of like ushered in this era. Now it's sort of taken for granted, but like, there was the whole idea that you could make like really cool big squirt guns was a new idea, and they all looked like they do on the show. But I remember it was so fun to do this episode. I actually have memories of this episode.
Yeah, like, I can imagine how fun that was.
Pulling out the guns and like doing the whole thing. And then, you know, of course, Ben getting soaked in that opening scene was just so much. That's like one of those moments where it's like, you know, kids love watching that kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. Like my son, he was just dying on that when we watched this scene. It was also really fun to do. Remember we did like food fight stuff or like this. We that was the so marriage of like things. Being a kid actor and still being a kid and having so much fun with this stuff.
And so, Rusty, since you didn't watch the show when it aired in the 90s and you weren't in, obviously, the cafeteria set, did you watch, like, did you get to watch it during run through? Did you watch it during the taping? Like, what was going on for you while we were doing this like kid friendly stuff?
Oh, I was enjoying watching you guys. You know, I mean, I loved the tapings because I would see scenes that maybe I hadn't been around, but I was, you know, the first couple of years, I was there a lot.
Yeah.
You know, as you guys got older and there were different storylines, you know, but as I love watching you guys. I like what you would come up with and also how brave you were to get wet and not whine.
Yeah, you're fearless as a kid actor. You're just like, yeah, throw me in the tank.
Yeah. Do well, whatever. Hopefully you're fearless as an actor.
Yeah, but it gets harder as you get older.
As I get older, I kind of go, how cold is that water?
Yeah, exactly.
Do I really have to get wet?
I don't know if I want to do this.
Let's get the stunt guy in here.
What do you remember about Lee Norris?
Oh, Lee. I just remember he was so sweet, so smart.
Yeah.
And just could... you know, just got everything immediately.
Yeah.
You know, you kind of, you know, he was there from the table read, just ready, had this character. So
he was really funny. He was like really legit funny.
He's a pro, man. Like, and I guess he had a lot of experience, more of the experience than any of us on sitcom at that point, because he had already done Almost Home, a series.
And wasn't he in the
Torkelson? Torkelson, yeah.
And then Almost Home.
Had he done two shows with Michael?
I think he did.
Okay, so Michael Jacobs basically created the role of Minkus for
him because he was so good.
Such a pro. And I, you know, it's so funny because, like, I just remember him and his mom. Mm-hmm. We'll talk about North Carolina. So they had a slight accent. You could hear his accent in there.
Yep.
Yeah.
Oh, he's just such a cute kid. Oh my God.
Michael would do that though. Michael would, if he liked an actor, would create a, I mean, Jason Marsden, the Jason Marsden character was created for Jason Marsden because that's just Michael.
And so Corey realized he gets soaked with the water gun and then he realizes he's the only person in the school who doesn't have a water gun.
I have one question. Can we go back to the cold open a little bit? I have one question. Okay, good. We're still here. So if memory serves, we were not allowed to say things like, oh my God.
Right.
So he stops himself. You hear him. He goes, oh my God. And I even wrote that because you know halfway through he was like, oh wait, we're not allowed to say it. And so that thing shuts down in your brain. It's like swearing on TV.
Yep.
So it was him going, if you watch again, he goes, oh my God. And he stops himself from saying it.
I watch TV with a Chiron and with subtitles and it says, oh my God. It stops.
It stops. Okay, good.
That probably wasn't scripted. That was probably just
Ben.
No,
that was
reacting.
Him just being Ben and knowing that he couldn't, he stopped himself halfway through. You could see him. You saw the mind going, wait, I can't say, oh my God.
Good thing he did. I wonder how many takes we did. I don't remember. Because, I mean, something like that, you'd have to change.
Yeah. Well, was the shot from behind his back, though? Because maybe they could have just taken it out.
No,
it was on his face.
His arms were kind of over his head.
Yeah, a single of him. And then Bill comes in and joins his shot
for their
exchange.
This also started the pants pull.
I don't know about this. See, these are things before I came on the show. So tell me what this is.
So the patented Ben pants pull, you will notice Corey always will walk into a scene and for some reason, and it's usually just his right hand. It's not both. He will reach down and he like goes to pull up his pants.
And did you know this at the time?
I remember this at the time to the point where when I saw it the first time I was rewatching this, I was like, okay, I'm going to keep a running tally of how many times that he does this. We were at 10 by the end of the episode, by the way. Check me if I'm wrong. It was the kind of thing he did where he would always go for his pants.
What were your ticks? Do you remember?
Oh, I'm sure I had. I mean, my first tick was just, it's just bad acting was one of my first ticks.
I feel feel like you went through a pointing stage.
I pointed a lot. Right? I also did a lot, like a facial thing, like where you and Michael like pulled me aside one time and told me to do this, where like you would say a line, like actors, when you're trying to get a laugh when there isn't one and you don't really know how to find the laugh yet, you would make a face after the line like you can't believe you said that line. So it was like, well, whatever you mean, Corey. Like, wow, I can't believe even I said
that. That's Ricky Gervais' whole thing.
But it is that.
There are comedians who know that's what, I can't believe I got away with that.
Exactly. So it was, I remember Michael, like, during a note session, I think it was hour six of a note session, was like, oh, and Will, don't make faces. Like, oh, okay, thanks.
That's funny.
Yeah, we always got into that stuff.
Am I the only person who was bumped, even with water guns, just hearing the word gun and seeing water guns in a school?
That's what we were talking about.
It did not occur to me. Watching it with Indy.
Right.
And I think he was having so much fun with the idea of squirt guns that I just saw them as squirt guns. But yes, now that you guys mention it,
but he
it is incredibly disturbing.
Yeah.
But let me point out something also about your son. What did he say? He said, you call 911.
Right.
Yeah.
It's in their heads. It's in even your son's young head.
Shooting the neighbor.
That obviously wasn't at that time.
Yeah.
No, it wasn't.
It was interesting.
It's pre-Columbine. You know. Nobody was thinking anything like that. But you know what's interesting, Ryder, is that I'm surprised it didn't occur to you, because I got something from you. I've gotten many things from you parenting-wise, which is funny because we've only... Our kids have not even... Well, your son came to my son's birthday party, but whatever. I've taken so many things parenting-wise from Ryder. But one of them was that you said very early on, you cannot avoid it. Mm-mm. Whether you shield or protect your kid from any vision of guns in your house, they will still somehow gravitate toward
They'll make
guns.
Finger guns. Yep. They will make pick finger up guns. A
exactly.
stick and it becomes a gun.
And you said... Blasters. We call them blasters. And so we, Jensen and I, have taken in our home, we don't say the word gun at all. Yeah. Everything's a blaster. Oh, look at that water blaster.
Yep.
Is that that's a laser. Everything's a blaster or a laser. And so I think even just hearing kids
talking about the word gun so freely.
It wasn't just that. One of the lines that I might have been Duan, I can't, it might have been Lee, who says it's so powerful, this thing will blow your head off.
Yeah. Right.
And it was like, wow. I mean, it's just,
the
it's
times
just
are
a different.
Different
time.
Times are
it
different.
A
yeah.
Different
just
time,
something.
You
didn't
know?
Bump any of us back then. And it, you know, but it bumped
it was
me
very,
now.
Very strange. Yeah. To hear it was interesting.
All right. So we leave the cafeteria. Corey goes home and he comes downstairs. He starts complimenting her. Wow, you sure do look nice today. Mm-hmm. And she knows what this means.
The
that he's
Eddie
probably
Haskell.
Yeah.
Yep. He's doing he's pulling
probably
the Eddie
gonna
Haskell.
Ask for something.
So this was interesting. Corey was more conniving than I remember. Like as the show went on, you know, Corey obviously grew up and Ben added his own thing and it changed completely. But I forgot that there's like this real Dennis the Menace.
Yeah.
Like, you know, a wise guy, smart aleck Corey. Like,
but that's what it was.
I forgot that.
Between Corey and Bill Daniels, and Mr. Feeney,
that was the dynamic, absolutely
Dennis the Menace dynamic.
That,
yeah.
Like that evaporated in Corey by, you know, season, I don't know when, but by the time, you know, season seven, like there was no, I mean, he would never be like a manipulative, smart alecky character. No. Like that. So it's so interesting that the show clearly started from this place and it works, you know, but he's also, they're all a little meaner to each other than I remember. Like,
well,
there's
it's
a
also
lot of like
a classic trope.
Yeah.
You know, the young, you know, adult acting kid.
Yes.
You know,
right,
who's
right.
the con man.
Totally.
You know, it's a great story icon too. And Ben was very good at it.
Yeah.
And it's a very funny, and it's also very, you know, it's someone to watch.
Right.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
that you want to go, okay, what are they really going to do?
Well, that's the thing. You know? I mean, say one of the things that strikes me as I'm rewatching these episodes is A, Ben was in every single scene.
Every scene.
And B, he can carry the show.
Absolutely.
He really can carry the show. You watch him the whole time.
Yep.
He's like a little stand-up comedian.
Yes.
And he really can carry the weight on his shoulders.
It truly is remarkable.
For
yeah.
a 12-year-old actor, that's pretty amazing that he was able to do that. Because he was in every single scene so far for the two episodes that we've watched, which is nuts. That's and then going to school and doing everything else. I mean, that's a lot of weight on your shoulders. And I thought, as halfway through this episode, I was just like, man, Ben's actually really good.
Yeah.
Like, he's really good at this.
And I think we all took that for granted.
Totally.
I think we all thought of ourselves. I mean, even though we know the show was built around him, it was like, well, we're all working. We're all doing that. Yeah. But like, no, in these early years, it was all Ben.
Yes.
Like, there was so much pressure on him to carry the show, like you're saying. Yep. And he nails it.
He really does.
And that the effortlessness with which Corey is like, empathetic and then sort of becomes also a smart aleck, and he's like, what do you mean? Yeah. You know, like, give me the, you know,
yeah.
What does he say to, well, we'll get to it.
Yeah. But he's really good.
Yeah.
It was, I was amazed because I haven't seen it in so long. That's one of the things I really took away from the first two episodes was like, man, Ben's good at this.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So he tells his mom he wants a water gun. He shows her a brochure and it's $50. And then dad, Rusty, comes down the stairs.
Yay.
He grabs him in a bear hug from behind, which is just so cute. And he looks at the water gun and he says, that seems pretty steep, pretty expensive. You can't get it now, but maybe we could get it for you for Christmas. Rusty, what's it like to have a TV wife, a TV family? What is that? How do you create that chemistry? Because like, I'm watching you and Ben, and right from the beginning, I just buy and believe that you guys have a father-son relationship. So you just feel it.
Oh, well, thank you. Well, I think hopefully that's what actors bring. I mean, I as an actor, part of me believes more in make-believe than real life, because there I can be anything I want. And Ben was a sweet kid. You all were. And I was, you know, getting to know you guys. But again, part of it is just jumping in and going for it. And thank goodness Ben was there too, you all were, really, as far as I'm concerned. I don't know. You know, I don't know. He was a wonderful actor and a great kid. And I just, you know, you have to be brave. I just said, okay, this is what I do with my kid.
Yeah.
You know,
this is
what I do, if you know, with my son or my daughter.
Right.
You know,
I'd grab
and
him
I
in
grew
a hug
up
like
in
this.
A family of five. You know, my dad was, you know, a great dad, you know, and he would hug us. And, you know, that's what you want.
Yeah.
What do you want from a father? I thought this is immediate time to say, oh, this is where we are. This is my kid.
This episode is brought to you by Huggies Little Movers.
Listen, Huggies knows that babies come in all shapes and sizes, and so do their tushies.
Especially when they start really moving.
With Huggies Little Movers, you get their best-fitting diaper with its curved and stretchy fit.
That's right. So no matter what kind of mover you've got, they'll feel protected and comfy while their little tushy wiggles and jiggles all around.
Huggies Little Movers has curves designed to fit all baby curves and helps provide up to 12-hour protection against leaks.
So make the switch to Huggies Little Movers today.
We got you, baby.
When it comes to Pod Meets World, we're synonymous with two things: watching our younger selves on a TV show from 30 years ago and loving Hyundai.
If we could, we would take Hyundai to prom.
Technically, Hyundai is more visible on this show than Topanga.
The first ever fully electric Hyundai Ioniq 5.
With up to a 303-mile range, available two-way charging, and other category-defining features, the fully electric Hyundai Ioniq 5 is one of the most teched-out electric vehicles ever.
Say teched out again.
Nope, that was a one-time show. Snooze, you lose.
Well, either way, the Hyundai Ioniq 5 is a tech-forward electric SUV.
The standard ultra-fast charging capability gives you an 80% charge in just 18 minutes when using a 250-plus kilowatt DC fast charger.
So that means your car won't die out like the Matthews family vehicle on New Year's Eve, forcing me to miss out on kissing supermodel Rebecca Alexa in front of all of Philadelphia.
And with available two-way charging, you can charge larger electronic equipment inside and outside the car, backyard or side yard.
Hyundai, it's your journey. Learn more at HyundaiUSA.com.
Call 562-314-4603 for complete details. 2024 Ioniq 5 rear-wheel drive has an EPA estimated driving range of up to 303 miles. Actual range will vary with options, driving conditions and habits, vehicle and batteries condition, and other factors. Available in limited quantities and select states only.
Finding the right person for your team can be challenging. When it's time to hire, turn to Express Employment Professionals.
In a recent study by the Harris Poll, on behalf of Express Employment Professionals, 63% of hiring decision makers are planning to increase headcount at their company this spring, and more than half are doing so due to increased volumes of work.
Don't let the work overwhelm you. Let Express handle your hiring.
Express Employment Professionals is here to make hiring easier. We're in the business of recruiting talent.
Discover for yourself how working with the workforce experts can solve your staffing challenges.
With more than 860 locally owned offices, you'll find one near you at expresspros.com.
Each year, more than 70,000 businesses turn to Express to manage their hiring.
Make the most of your time and leave recruiting and hiring to the experts at Express.
Visit expresspros.com today.
It's 2024 and stress is already everywhere.
Deadlines at work.
Your kid's screaming at you.
Non-stop traffic.
The world is ending.
That's a big jump there, Ryder.
Yeah, sorry, kind of true.
Yeah, well, when we want to get away from the struggles of everyday life and have some comforting me time, we break into some Keebler Sandies.
Let's say it's finals week and Mr. Feeney has scheduled all of the tests into one day. How will Topanga find a comforting moment to herself?
Go to the mall?
Not with this hair.
Play guitar with her father, Jedediah?
Depends on which Jedediah.
Bite into some delicious Keebler Sandies?
Exactly. Keebler Sandies are buttery shortbread cookies made with simple ingredients.
And each Keebler Sandies cookie is baked to perfection by the adorable Keebler elves for a light sweetness and texture that melts in your mouth.
God bless those little Keebler elves.
When you need a comforting moment for yourself, Keebler Sandies is the perfect treat that will keep you going.
So, the next time you feel like you're juggling it all, reach for a Keebler Sandies shortbread cookie to enjoy a simple moment of comfort.
Tell the elves Pod Meets World sent ya.
They're real. I've seen them.
I do remember as a kid actor getting jobs where you'd be somebody's kid. And the good actors would physically spend time with you.
Yeah.
Because you need to be comfortable. You need to be, like, I remember I did a movie called Benefit of the Doubt with Amy Irving. And like,
hold for applause.
Yeah. that's a whole story. Ben never let me forget that I was in that movie because I'm so bad in it. And he would just imitate me every morning. He saw it on TV one day and then he was like, Ryder, what is this movie?
Anyway, wow. But
Amy Irving, you know, like in my screen test, she was like, we do the scene and then she was like, hey, Ryder, can you just come sit in my lap? Like in retrospect, it's kind of weird, but at the time it was like, that's what, and we just, and then she just hugged me and held me. And it was like, we needed it to physicalize. And it seems weird, but it's true. As a kid, to have a parent kid relationship, the actors need to have a dynamic that is believable, that's lived in. And it's sure. super. Yeah. And you guys had that instantly.
Yeah. And we, you know, and you develop that. I mean, who knows? We developed it at the craft service table.
Right.
Kid Ben, or I would kid you, or Danielle, or, you know, Will. It's like, what are you doing? What kind of shoes are those? What did you do last night? Where'd you go? You know, you kind of.
A rapport.
Like any kind of, but, and actors can, hopefully most people can do it kind of instantly. I mean, you think about it, you go to work, you have to create some sort of life between the other actors, and hopefully that's a gift that you have or not. And you know, fortunately Ben was great, and I just kind of showed up, baby, and tried not to run into the furniture.
There's a question that we should have asked last episode, but I want to ask now, because we've heard about this from some of the other actors that were on the show that we will get to eventually. But was there ever a time, especially at the beginning, where you thought to yourself, this isn't going to work, this isn't for me, and I might not want to be here?
No.
Oh, good. Okay.
No, I don't think so.
Okay.
No. I mean, there are many times I went, oh, I don't get this. A lot of things I don't know that I don't know.
Right.
Right. I would do something and David Trainer kindly would point out, oh, I need you to look over here or do this, or you can't walk in the back like that. You look crazy on camera. You know, there were just things in the format that I went, oh, I was so used to doing, you know, single camera and things, and the dynamics and the set and the, you know, are all kind of different dimensions. And it took me a while to adjust certain things, because there were certain things I would do that I wasn't sure the camera was getting or not, though I never really worry about that.
Okay. I was just curious.
But no, I always, you know, once I committed to it, and you, as I said, you guys were so great and I love the writers and man, I was really glad to be there.
Good.
Cool.
So Then we're in Corey and Eric's room. Eric is trying to put a girl's number in his watch.
It's super like fancy watch.
Like wow. You do.
Absolutely.
I definitely remember being so excited about having a Casio digital watch that could do, that was a calculator watch.
Right.
That was so advanced in 1990 or whenever I had it. So it's, it, but now it just seems so dated.
And I believe
it.
It's the, Eric says the same name. It's still Heather,
it's still
right?
Heather,
so
yeah. It's still from, Heather. From the episode before.
From the pilot. So, and then I believe Nikki Cox plays Heather. So he's been dating the same girl for two or three episodes now.
Yeah, which the thing I like about that is that it kind of ties back into the previous episode where Corey told you to call her, which means it did work.
It worked and she stayed.
And she stuck around and you guys were able to continue your relationship. And so Corey's like, hey, how'd you get your parents to buy that watch for you? And you explained that you actually bought it with your own money because you have a job. And
what
so,
I did, Eric had a job. What he didn't ever have were scenes with the parents. So it was always like the parents would be downstairs and then Eric's upstairs in his room. So well, it was still like, it was just, it's normal, but it's very strange. We'd always be talking about stuff, but it was never like, I wasn't working.
You actually come down for a brief second in the next scene.
One quick little
yabba-dabba-doo,
and then I'm out again.
Yeah.
But it was, we were all kept very insular at the time. It was like, this is your set. Like, okay, Ryder, you know, at the time, Sean, you're in school. This is the cafeteria. This is your set.
Yeah, the bedroom was
the
your set.
The bedroom was mine.
The kitchen was Alan and Amy.
Exactly. And then Ben got to run between the worlds.
Exactly.
And
backyard
it was
Feeny.
Backyard was Feeny. Classroom was Feeny, but not as much yet. We haven't really established that yet. So it's very interesting. They set up all these different worlds and then the through line is Ben running from world to world to world. And nobody's been really meshed yet.
Right. The worlds have not collided.
Right. Which is an interesting look at the whole thing. And you know,
and it's kind of inevitable, right? It has to happen.
And they set it up. They always set it up with the opening static shot start of either the house or the school. And then, you know, where the camera pans in, like, oh, they're going upstairs to the bedroom. It's going to be an Eric scene. They're going downstairs to the front door. It's going to be a kitchen scene. Like by that, you knew where you were going to be in the house and by extension, what actors you were going to see.
Speaking of the exterior of the house, do you guys know that house is in Studio City on Colfax?
Yeah, right across from the studio.
Right
that we
across
shot
from
at.
Where we shot.
Yeah.
And just yesterday I passed the exterior for the school. Which
really?
Is in Los Feliz.
Yes, I remember we did a photo shoot.
Yeah, I'm blanking on the name of the school, but it's a beautiful high school in Los Feliz. One of the few brick schools in Los Angeles, which is why it was the exterior, because it looks like an East Coast school.
It does, yeah.
But I drove by with Indy yesterday after we watched the episode. I was like, there it is. And he was like, what? Really? He was so excited to learn.
Well, I remember when they sold the house, they sold it as the Boy Meets World house. I mean, that was like, it was for sale as the Boy Meets World house. Yeah.
Speaking of all the different worlds, it actually is very much how a child's life feels.
Yeah.
You do feel like you're like, I have so many things. I have my home life and I have my friend life and I have my school life and everything feels
divided.
Nothing feels like it goes well together.
Yeah.
It just
feels not fluid.
It's not fluid at all.
It's
exactly.
Very interesting. Yeah.
Okay. So then we're in the kitchen. Are you at all handy, Rusty? Because I noticed in this episode, you're fixing the toilet. You're fixing the sink. Are you handy in that way? Are you like, can you fix stuff?
I'm an actor. I'm an actor. I let other people fix stuff.
Yeah, I'm terrible at fixing anything.
So you can act handy. Like you fix it.
I'm not
either. I'm relatively, like if it's a toilet, a sink, something like that, then I fix it around the house. If
really?
Yeah.
Oh my God.
I learned years later when I owned houses.
Yeah,
this is how my dad figured this out.
Yeah, I've lived by myself since I was 16. It's like, am I going to call a plumber because the sink is leaking?
Yes.
No, you should go outside. You shut off the water. You fix the sink.
I wouldn't even know how to shut off the water. I truly.
You're going to need to learn how to do that because if there's a flood or something, you're going to need how to learn how to shut off the water in your house. That's important. There's usually one valve coming in from the street or two if you've got a
bigger
place.
Definitely want to know where that is. Gas valve and your
gas valve and your water valve. You're going to want to know where that is.
Just for earthquake reasons.
Those are two important things to know.
All right, I'm going to learn it later today.
But no, I'm not doing I'm not like, you know, rewiring anything, but basic stuff. Hey, the toilet's running. I can do that.
I'll call you.
Please. The joy of being neighbors.
I do appreciate, though, how establishing, you know, the parents in this scene, they get a real life.
Yeah.
The blue collar.
Yep.
You know, there's a sense of like, money is kind of an issue. It's not just like, I mean, because some sitcoms that's removed, right? Yeah, money is just removed. Other sitcoms like Roseanne, it's like money was obviously
it was
all
a character.
And we're sort of in between, you know, it's like, oh, you own this grocery store, I'm assuming, you know, like
he's the manager.
Your manager. Okay, great. So yeah, but you know, there's also that sarcastic line like that you deliver to Betsy is like, remember when we were, before we were married, before we knew each other, when we were happy. And you know, that is like classic sitcom banter, but it also does establish the sort of level that this family lives at, you know, which I like. I think it's a good, because we're in Philadelphia, but we're kind of in the suburbs. It definitely feels like
it's the suburbs of Philly.
Never quite explain where, you know, but
I also like though that they're also establishing that the parents have a real work ethic.
Yes.
So it's like, if you want to buy something, get a job and go and buy something.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And that's, I think, something that's lost a little bit on certain generations. So I like that was still written into the show where it's like, hey, you got that watch. Where'd you get it? Well, I earned the money. And there's even the line where Eric says, Dad said to me, it's my money. I get to spend it the way I want to. And I like that. It's like, that's your money. You've earned it. Now you can go do with it what you want. And you don't see that a lot on sitcoms either. So that was cool.
Yeah.
Into the yard.
So go make some money and give it to me.
Exactly.
Okay. So
turning pages.
Is the first time where Alan specifically mentions, because Corey says he wants a job. He comes down. He's like, hey, my brother has a job. He gets
job.
To spend his money. Then why can't I get a job? And this is the first time where you get to deliver the moral of the story from the adult perspective really is no, your job is to be a kid. And that is just as important of a job as any other job that we all have. And once it's gone, you cannot get it back. Unlike a real job where once one job goes, you could always go get another job. Being a kid is such a temporary and very fleeting thing. Although when you are a kid, it feels like it's never going to be over.
God. My like this is today while we're recording. This is my son's last day of first grade.
Oh, my gosh.
And it could not come sooner. He thought this was the longest year ever. Yeah. I'm like, oh, my God. Do you know how this is flown by? I cannot believe you're done with first grade.
Right.
Stop. Slow down.
Yeah. It does. It happens. I mean, I remember my whole life I wanted to be 30, and now 30 is 11 years behind me. And I do still love aging. I don't have a problem with aging. I think life gets better as you get older, assuming you're willing to, you know, assuming you're actually growing and evolving and learning and becoming a different person. Life is just continues to get better the more you know. But boy, I just felt like, you know, I remember at the beginning of a school year and being like, well, yeah, we'll do that next summer. Being like, next summer? Like, that's never going to be here.
It's forever. Yeah. Is there some sort of irony about a show about how you have to be a kid and stay a kid as long as you can that's starring a kid actor who's got the entire weight of the world on his shoulders? But that's what I mean.
Yeah.
We were just talking about how he runs everything, and the whole episode is about you got to keep being a kid.
Right.
And it's like, except you, Ben, because you've got to keep us all employed because of you.
You got 9.5 hours of work today.
Yeah,
do it.
Exactly. Now go to school and now come back and keep the 400 people on the cast, crew, and everything employed. Ben. So, be a kid. There's
that's
something
disturbing.
That hit me.
That's funny.
Hit me where it's like, you know, that was the moral is everybody, you need to keep your childhood except for you, Ben. You got to get back to work.
Yeah. Rusty, did you ever talk to the writers about your character, your storylines, lines you wrote? What was your relationship with them like as it related to every week's episode?
I have to say I had a great rapport with the writers. They were terrific writers. And, you know, I loved, you know, I knew that they were always trying to find the funny, you know, but they're also going for a heart of the matter. And that's what I was always trying to go, well, what is this scene really about besides this joke?
Right.
And Michael, I have to say, I mean, to his credit, he always was saying, well, it's about this.
He had an answer.
He always cared about it.
And then if we can lay a joke on it or we find it in a funny way that we like, then we'll do it. So I had, you know, I loved the writers and I loved, as I say, the tapings and watching you kids all the time. And once in a while, something would come up and I'd kind of torque my ears and go, that doesn't really quite sound right or doesn't quite work. And hopefully I would talk to you guys and say, you know, let's try this. Or what's this about? Or, nah, it's not working yet. Let's try it another way. Or, you know, I mean, that was what the rehearsal was about, was trying to discover.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What is this about? You know?
That's definitely something I learned literally like my very first week and then continued to learn every week thereafter was like truly breaking down a script from every character's perspective what is this about for you? What is this about for you? What is this about for you? Because from every character's perspective, it's a little bit different. And obviously, the, you know, as we're seeing with Indy, Indy is seeing it through the Corey eyes.
Yeah.
He truly is the Corey character. But like, I breaking down a script and for the actor to know, I am responding and reacting this way in this scene because for me, what this is about right now is this. And that's because of what just happened before. And I don't know what's going to happen in the future, but in the future, this is going to happen because of what's happening right now.
And good writing accommodates that. Bad writing doesn't.
Yeah,
and I feel like one of the things that separated Boy Meets World from a lot of other sitcoms was that Michael Jacobs wanted answers.
Yes.
He didn't mind every character having their perspective and an arc, whereas I could see on other shows, they'd just be like, because it's funny.
Yeah.
Just do it. Exactly. It's a joke. There is not a wasted moment.
Yep.
The Superman banter in the beginning, which seems like the most casual.
I and didn't then, write it down when I went because I didn't think it was important to the show.
Exactly.
I
literally it's like, oh, this is easy banter.
Yeah,
and
easy
then
banter.
It made me cry.
Exactly.
This scene that we're still talking about because we're only on scene three, is him fixing the sink comes back when Amy grabs it as her score gun. It's like unbelievable. There's not a wasted line. There's not a wasted physical move. This is like, this show is tight, man.
This is what it's about. This is about going back and watching it as adults and finally being able to appreciate that everything went into this little show that we were like, well, but now I'm sneezing the lottery numbers. It's like, but there's a reason.
There's never some episodes that it was just.
We'll get to that. But it
that's,
is.
And that's what makes actually great movies, great books, great any of you. As I get older, as you get older, I mean, you see why this works. And then you used a very important term. There's nothing wasted. Everything is there for a moment. There's nothing, you know, superfluous to what's going on. I mean, and you can look at Lawrence of Arabia movie. Go watch it sometimes. You watch a movie like that and you'll see every moment leads to the next and continues as a story, as does Boy Meets World or any good writing.
Which is pretty incredible, actually. And it's one of those things where I was constantly amazed. So we talk about nothing wasted. There's one moment, which I'm not sure we've gotten back to, because obviously there's several through lines that go through here. Mr. Feeny always throws one in. In this case, Alan threw one in about being a kid. But one of the things that I was surprised, they kind of mixed literary references.
Hmm.
Because he talks about the raven.
Oh, yeah.
And so I was like, oh, how's the raven going to come back? And it never did. And then they jumped to Tom Sawyer. And that's why I was like, okay, so wait a minute. What? How? Well, that, okay.
Well, this
so,
is something I'm thinking. No, I'm not going to make the connection. It's interesting to me watching the pilot and this, how much Feeny is sort of a caricature of culture.
Sure.
You know what I mean?
Sure.
He's such this refined cultural guy.
Sure.
And so those
references.
Yeah, those references, I think, are kind of hokey, actually. Like, that's one of my least favorite parts.
Well, see, because I like when they mean something.
Well, the Tom Sawyer one is great because
you
could see it building
up. Shakespeare or any of that kind of Tom Sawyer
stuff
like that.
But, you know, I just think it's interesting. Like, Feeny is just, you know, it's like the Western canon is just like every time he opens his mouth, he's going to make a reference like Emily Dickinson, blah, blah, blah.
Right.
You know, it's like every, and
when Mozart.
Let's keep track because I think it's so funny. But you know, it is how an 11-year-old sees culture, you know, but I find it funny that it's like, he can't open his mouth without
talking about
name dropping some, you know, awesome 19th century.
Dropping. Yes. That's the new thing. Oh, yeah. It was very, but I was waiting for that to come back. Okay, he specifically mentions the raven. That's not just going to be dangling. They're going to bring that. Oh, no, they didn't. That just was just a thing. Like, out of nowhere. So it was that I found interesting. But then, of course, they worked in Tom Sawyer.
Yeah.
And then
Tom
you
Sawyer
also get the great Lee line, which we'll get. But the is like, am I the only one who read the summer syllabus? You know, because we always would get them and you never read them ever. Ryder probably read them.
I read them too.
Every single one.
But that's the point of the mention of the raven.
Yeah.
And Tom Sawyer.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He said no one read them.
No.
That's why he brings it up.
Exactly.
We're in the backyard. We see Feeny. He's trimming his roses. Corey offers to help. Feeny says, no, stay away from the roses. But Corey asks for $50 in advance to shovel snow in the winter. And Feeny says, no, but he does need his shutters painted. And then we get a little math joke. He was willing to pay him. It was so funny. He's willing to pay him $80.
Yeah.
but he tells him he's willing to pay him $5
for 10 shutters.
$5
per shutter.
Times two.
It was five times two times eight.
Times eight, right.
And there were eight shutters or something, and he was willing, whatever. And it was going to be $80. But you see Corey go through the math, and he comes up with $58. And Feeney says, deal, $58. I'll pay you $58 for it, which is fine with Corey because all he needs is 50 to buy his water gun. So
that's a great joke, though. How even the teacher is like, if you're not going to do the math, then I'm not going to correct you to pay you more
well,
money.
Well, it's actually, it leads to a really funny joke where he says, you earned every cent of that C plus I gave you in math, which is really great.
The quintessential like line for me that that surprised me was like, the get a pulse.
I know.
Like, it's so like a kind of obnoxious kid humor, I mean, but it comes back.
That's
you know,
Dennis the Menace, though. That's what I mean.
I wrote that down. It's like, what is this? I forgot this aspect of our show. Yep. But yeah, get a pulse.
Get a pulse.
This episode is brought to you by Huggies Little Movers.
Listen, Huggies knows that babies come in all shapes and sizes, and so do their tushies.
Especially when they start really moving.
With Huggies Little Movers, you get their best fitting diaper with its curved and stretchy fit.
That's right. So no matter what kind of mover you've got, they'll feel protected and comfy while their little tushy wiggles and jiggles all around.
Huggies Little Movers has curves designed to fit all baby curves and helps provide up to 12-hour protection against leaks.
So make the switch to Huggies Little Movers today.
We got you, baby.
When it comes to Pod Meets World, we're synonymous with two things: watching our younger selves on a TV show from 30 years ago and loving Hyundai.
If we could, we would take Hyundai to prom.
Technically, Hyundai is more visible on this show than Topanga.
The first ever fully electric Hyundai Ioniq 5.
With up to a 303-mile range, available two-way charging, and other category-defining features, the fully electric Hyundai Ioniq 5 is one of the most teched-out electric vehicles ever.
Say teched out again.
Nope, that was a one-time show. Snooze, you lose.
Well, either way, the Hyundai Ioniq 5 is a tech-forward electric SUV.
The standard ultra-fast charging capability gives you an 80% charge in just 18 minutes when using a 250-plus kilowatt DC fast charger.
So that means your car won't die out like the Matthews family vehicle on New Year's Eve, forcing you to miss out on kissing supermodel Rebecca Alexa in front of all of Philadelphia.
And with available two-way charging, you can charge larger electronic equipment inside and outside the car, backyard or side yard.
Hyundai, it's your journey. Learn more at HyundaiUSA.com.
Call 562-314-4603 for complete details. 2024 Ioniq 5 rear-wheel drive has an EPA estimated driving range of up to 303 miles. Actual range will vary with options, driving conditions and habits, vehicle and batteries condition, and other factors. Available in limited quantities and select states only.
Finding the right person for your team can be challenging. When it's time to hire, turn to Express Employment Professionals.
In a recent study by the Harris Poll, on behalf of Express Employment Professionals, 63% of hiring decision makers are planning to increase headcount at their company this spring, and more than half are doing so due to increased volumes of work.
Don't let the work overwhelm you. Let Express handle your hiring.
Express Employment Professionals is here to make hiring easier. We're in the business of recruiting talent.
Discover for yourself how working with the workforce experts can solve your staffing challenges.
With more than 860 locally owned offices, you'll find one near you at expresspros.com.
Each year, more than 70,000 businesses turn to Express to manage their hiring.
Make the most of your time and leave recruiting and hiring to the experts at Express.
Visit expresspros.com today.
It's 2024 and stress is already everywhere.
Deadlines at work.
Your kids screaming at you.
Non-stop traffic.
The world is ending.
That's a big jump there, Ryder.
Yeah, sorry, kind of true.
Yeah, well,
when we want to get away from the struggles of everyday life and have some comforting me time, we break into some Keebler Sandies.
Let's say it's finals week and Mr. Feeney has scheduled all of the tests into one day. How will Topanga find a comforting moment to herself?
Go to the mall?
Not with this hair.
Play guitar with her father, Jedediah?
Depends on which Jedediah.
Bite into some delicious Keebler Sandies?
Exactly. Keebler Sandies are buttery shortbread cookies made with simple ingredients.
And each Keebler Sandies cookie is baked to perfection by the adorable Keebler elves for a light sweetness and texture that melts in your mouth.
God bless those little Keebler elves.
When you need a comforting moment for yourself, Keebler Sandies is the perfect treat that will keep you going.
So the next time you feel like you're juggling it all, reach for a Keebler Sandies shortbread cookie to enjoy a simple moment of comfort.
Tell the elves Pod Meets World sent ya.
They're real. I've seen them.
We're still in the backyard. Corey paints all the shutters and Feeney pays him the money. The shutters look great. Everybody's impressed. But once they move the shutters,
wait for it.
Sitcomness happens.
Alan notices that Corey has painted the shutters against the fence, and their side of the fence now, the Matthew side of the fence, is now zebra print, basically, with green paint. And Corey cannot go to the water war because he has to fix the fence.
By the way, Indy's response, it looks better that way. He's like, the zebra thing is cool.
It looks
He's
great.
Like, the stripes are great. Why don't they just leave it? I was like, yeah, you're kind of right, dude. Yeah. It does look nice.
Yeah. So Corey's obviously bummed. He's like, what? This sucks. I really wanted to go to the water war. He has to stay. And we're back in the kitchen. This is where Lily... is tying your apron because we see you going to work.
Eric going to work and doing the little bow tie. So this is, as I was watching this reminded me of, again, what Michael was clearly trying to do. He was trying to find the pairs and the teams that were going to work.
Right.
So that for a good 6 or 7 episodes, they were trying to make Eric and Morgan a thing.
Right.
They were trying to make, you know, Corey was there for everybody, but they were trying to pair mm-hmm. people up where mm-hmm. it was going to be like, let's see what teams work, which again, by the end, you know, midway through season 1 or 2, it was all of a sudden it was Eric and Feeny.
Mm-hmm.
Like, yeah. So they were trying to see what
was that season
was
two or season
work.
One? Season one is when you guys nailed.
It's when we started to get there, but you could tell they were trying to see which teams
which characters
were going
play
to
off
work.
Each other, which actors have the chemistry.
One of the coolest things I ever heard about this was Family Guy. Seth MacFarlane talks about this, where he's like, the idea when we started the show that the show was going to end up being Stewie and Brian is ridiculous. There's like, there's no way the dog and the baby are going to run the show. He's like, and then you start to let the actors go, and all of a sudden
the characters
they match the way they're supposed to match. So this is the start of them going like, all right, here's the Eric Morgan scene, because this mm-hmm. is going to be a thing.
Right.
And
this is essentially why the death chair was there, right?
Yeah.
It's because they were trying to find that character that would pop. And, you know,
that chemistry, you're just trying to find it. Yeah.
And I mean,
and it was great for a while.
I think until Topanga shows up,
Topanga showing up changes the whole thing. So it was working with Lily was wonderful. She was a ton of fun to work with, a little kid. And she would love to, you know, make jokes and always had a big smile on her face.
Jumping ahead, Rusty, while we have you here, eventually Lily gets swapped out. We replaced Lily Nixay with Lindsay Ridgway.
Right.
What's your memory of that time? Because, you know, I think we all have different perspectives of it based on how much we were working or what we saw at the time. What was your perspective of what was going on around that time?
Well, I think there was some issues that had to do with growing up.
Yeah.
And
it's possible Lily didn't necessarily want to be a child actor.
Yeah. I think I'm not sure she was very happy at the time.
Yeah.
And Michael Jacobs, to his credit, could see that.
Mm-hmm.
And he, you know, decided what was best personally.
Yeah.
For her.
Was to let her go.
Was to, you know, let her try something else.
Yeah.
Go somewhere else. And I think that's really what it was about.
Yeah.
So how many seasons did we go without a Morgan at all?
I was going to say, she wasn't really replaced. At first, it was just they got rid of the character.
Yeah. They just never acknowledged
Morgan.
One
day Lily was gone and then Lindsay was there. No. It's like Lily
was
gone and then
we had
like,
no Morgan.
No, I know, but it just wasn't mentioned.
And then they needed to bring the character back
because
what we were talking about, where it was a whole nother dynamic of the show and a whole nother audience of the show. So it's like they need to bring her back. And then they made a joke about it, and then Lindsay walks down the stairway.
I was in my room with a really long
time. I was in my room for a real long time.
Yeah, I was on a very long time out. Yeah.
Yeah.
Which yeah.
is and all of this is coming back from what they're feeling from audiences.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, nothing's done in a vacuum.
Exactly. Feedback.
Know? And then just you find what a lot of times you don't know till you do it. It's like everything. You try it and see what's working or not. And that's the interesting thing about doing a TV show every week, as opposed to a movie where you just do it and put it out there and see what's happening, then you can edit with it. But every week you have this living, growing thing that you're taking information from the audience, from the writers,
and
seeing how it moves.
Yeah, she's so naturally funny.
She was she's great. Oh, yeah.
And
she's
just
great.
Just cute as a button. I know we talked about it in the first episode.
She just didn't want to be there.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think at first.
Not at this point. Not at this point. Yeah. Not at this point. But later, she was like six.
Again, we were talking about the pressure.
Yeah.
You really have to want it because it is. It's a lot on your shoulders. Yeah. And she was 6 years old.
Six.
And yeah, I think eventually she just got to a point where she was like, this isn't as fun as you guys all think it is.
I want
to
go be six. You guys were having fun.
We were having a blast.
You always had fun. And hopefully that's why you're still here because it was fun.
Yeah.
Exactly. Okay, so Corey then comes into the kitchen. He grabs ice cream bars for his friends who are outside because he's tried to sucker them into painting the fence.
Well, he's paying us, right?
Yeah, he's suckering. Yeah, but he suckered you into it with money. He's paying you. And I love this. He hands, I love Lee saying he really prefers a Heath bar crunch. I think that's very funny.
And him just going and dipping it in the dirt was a very good joke.
Putting a handful of dirt on it. Here, chew on that. Okay, so then the friends leave. Ryder, did you have any impression?
Have a lawyer call my mom. That was a great. I didn't remember that. I was like, all right, Sean's tough. Like,
I think this scene too. I wanted to. I the blocking in this show I find so much more interesting than what we do in today's day and age. As a director of kids TV now, we're often limited by everybody wants to see two eyeballs at all times nobody wants anything in front of anybody's face. You're all the way upstage, practically behind a tree when you deliver the line, have your lawyer call my mom. And I love it.
Yeah, you're using
you
the set.
All
you
the
get
way
to see
your
whole body.
Yes.
I also know that you get to see our feet all the time. I was freaking out about how the sneakers.
Yes.
I was like, these are cool shoes.
Yes.
Like I remember those.
Rusty's wearing cool Monarchs in the scene where he's fixing under the sink.
Right.
By the way, he's under the sink. I could barely even see one eye, and I love it.
Yeah.
It feels like
real.
I'm watching
it real.
A it's real family.
Multicam used to be more stage-like. And
then was better.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, watch Cheers. Cheers was shot on film, and it's beautiful, and it feels like a filmed play, and you get to watch actors use their body, their hands. Nowadays,
it's also because it's on
multicam.
One set.
Yeah, one set. But nowadays, a beautiful set.
Yeah,
it's some of the mess.
It's
but
amazing.
Nowadays, multicam is emulating single camera so often, and that we've come to expect, I think, too much of it. And I don't think audiences care. I don't think kids care. I think executives care.
Exactly. Well, no. I agree. I don't think kids are like, I didn't think that was funny because I could only see one of their eyeballs.
No, in fact, I think being able to see actors a little distanced and a little is actually, it's more involving.
Well,
it can draw you in more.
Breaking the fourth wall on so many shows that people are talking right to the camera, like literally directly to the camera, that now just seeing half of their face doesn't do it anymore. And it's like, come on.
Yeah.
So yeah, very strange.
Interesting. I agree. The evolution of
I noticed that, especially in that scene. I was like, man, to be able to play with the whole set.
Yeah.
Space was not wasted. Where on a sitcom set now, it'd be like, well, we can't use that.
That's an interesting question, Rusty. Was there a set that you preferred shooting in over another set? Because I remember like the living room set when we would shoot there, it seemed like we had a lot more to play with than when they would throw us in, say, the bedroom set. So was there a set where it was like, this is more freeing to me to be here?
I think if I liked anything, I liked the outside, the backyard.
Yeah.
And stuff like that. But also you have to take into account that a lot of people are saying, well, you're not going to see this when you're watching it on your phone.
Right.
No, they want
those talking heads. The screens are sense bigger.
Right.
And then on the other sense, they're smaller.
Yeah.
You know, people are looking on their gigantic screen at home from Costco. And then they're also looking at the phone on the subway.
Right.
I never understood people that had big screens.
We won't talk about
that. We won't talk about where we're shooting right now.
Okay. So Corey is alone. His friends have left. They've gone to the water war. Corey still has more coats to do on the fence. Alan comes back from work. He's had a long day. Your tie is undone. That's how we know you've had a long day. And Feeney comes out and says that when he was a kid, he was worked from sunup to sundown. And that's the way Alan should be handling things with Corey. And he goes inside.
This was an interesting dynamic.
Yeah.
The difference between Feeney as authority and Dad as authority, I really appreciate it.
Yep.
Because I in my mind, it was like Feeney's never wrong. But here's episode one, basically, or episode two, like, the show went, Feeney wasn't exactly right. Like, that's cool. Like, he gave advice that was not horrible advice, but like, here Alan's going to take it a different direction. I really appreciated that about the show. Yeah.
adults who disagree politely.
Different opinions. Different totally. Opinions. And your heart just goes right to Rusty.
And I like the idea that like the subtext for Rusty is really like, you get him all day at school.
Yeah.
He's on my side of the fence now. And right. I'm going to handle it my way,
yes.
Which was to, you know, pick Corey up from laying on the floor and telling him that he should stay 11 years old for as long as he possibly can. And he didn't want him to be like Feeny. He didn't want to work him sun up to sundown. Go play. And you send him off to go to the water war. And you take over painting the fence for Corey. And
which, if we're totally honest after watching the episode, there's barely any left to paint.
Multiple coats. No, they have to do multiple.
No, I mean, it's like there's 15 minutes worth of work.
Hey, dude.
There.
Hey, dude. Have you spent a day managing a grocery?
You know, it's a yes, long I have. Day. Yes,
it's
I
a
have.
Long day.
No, but I mean, it's you know, I'm saying for Corey, it's like there's you got 15 minutes worth of work left there. 20 minutes.
Oh my god, dude. I mean, having a 7-year-old, yeah. And I know it's not going to be any better when I'm like asking him to pick up his shoes is a 20-minute battle.
I know.
So
yeah.
No, like getting a kid to paint a fence at 11.
We also
a
talk about why not just put a thing behind the thing and use the actual paint sprayer you were using before. He had a sprayer the first time. Now all of a sudden he decides to go with one brush. Come on. This was a terrible show. Let's be honest.
They have to put the tarp between it and the roses. And right. As you saw, based on how Mr. Feeny is protected, he wouldn't let that happen.
No,
so they wouldn't. That's the real reason why they couldn't put the tarp back there. And you had to do it by hand.
Look at Rusty. Alan's got the tie undone.
I know. Like, I told you. That's how we know he's had a long day.
Day's over. Just amazing.
Well, it's talking about the dynamic between Feeny and Alan also is that Feeny has no children.
Yeah.
He's not a parent.
You're right.
He's a teacher.
Yeah.
And as always, I think to the writer's credit, there's this certain kind of authority.
Tension,
but when it really comes to children,
yeah,
that's where Alan comes in.
That's interesting.
I never thought about that either. That's really interesting.
Yeah, so the
that's
show
so
has
true.
Two sort of sources of authority that are
he's,
very
he's,
different.
That
he's
are different.
Taught
are different.
Kids. And, he's taught kids his whole life, but he's never raised kids.
And there is nothing like raising a child. You couldn't explain it to somebody.
I'm sure.
If you tried. And so there is the parent I was before I had children is a totally different parent than I was after I had children. Because I was, in my mind, I was a, well, when I have children and well, if I was that child's parents, well,
and now
I'm like,
realize who you really are.
you do. Yeah. And you see, talk about, you know, finding out your flaws and them just being a mirror to the things you still have left to work on. It is one of those things. So yeah, they're definitely Feeny could have
such a good call. And being a good parent is so different than being a good teacher. You can be great at one and awful at the other.
And being a parent of one child is a lot different than being a parent of two.
Yeah,
true.
A lot of ways better.
Yeah.
But otherwise, quadruple the work.
Exactly.
Yeah, exponentially.
I'm going to have five of my own. No way.
Anytime, Will. Anytime.
No, thank you.
This episode is brought to you by Huggies Little Movers.
Listen, Huggies knows that babies come in all shapes and sizes, and so do their tushies.
Especially when they start really moving.
With Huggies Little Movers, you get their best fitting diaper with its curved and stretchy fit.
That's right. So no matter what kind of mover you've got, they'll feel protected and comfy while their little tushy wiggles and jiggles all around.
Huggies Little Movers has curves designed to fit all baby curves, and helps provide up to 12-hour protection against leaks.
So, make the switch to Huggies Little Movers today.
We got you, baby.
When it comes to Pod Meets World, we're synonymous with two things. Watching our younger selves on a TV show from 30 years ago, and loving Hyundai.
If we could, we would take Hyundai to prom.
Technically, Hyundai is more visible on this show than Topanga.
The first ever fully electric Hyundai Ioniq 5.
With up to a 303-mile range, available two-way charging, and other category-defining features, the fully electric Hyundai Ioniq 5 is one of the most teched-out electric vehicles ever.
Say teched out again.
Nope, that was a one-time show. Snooze, you lose.
Well, either way, the Hyundai Ioniq 5 is a tech-forward electric SUV.
The standard ultra-fast charging capability gives you an 80% charge in just 18 minutes when using a 250-plus kilowatt DC fast charger.
So that means your car won't die out like the Matthews family vehicle on New Year's Eve, forcing me to miss out on kissing supermodel Rebecca Alexa in front of all of Philadelphia.
And with available two-way charging, you can charge larger electronic equipment inside and outside the car, backyard or side yard.
Hyundai, it's your journey. Learn more at HyundaiUSA.com.
Call 562-314-4603 for complete details. 2024 Ioniq 5 rear-wheel drive has an EPA estimated driving range of up to 303 miles. Actual range will vary with options, driving conditions and habits, vehicle and batteries condition, and other factors. Available in limited quantities and select states only.
Finding the right person for your team can be challenging. When it's time to hire, turn to Express Employment Professionals.
In a recent study by the Harris Poll, on behalf of Express Employment Professionals, 63% of hiring decision makers are planning to increase headcount at their company this spring, and more than half are doing so due to increased volumes of work.
Don't let the work overwhelm you. Let Express handle your hiring.
Express Employment Professionals is here to make hiring easier. We're in the business of recruiting talent.
Discover for yourself how working with the workforce experts can solve your staffing challenges.
With more than 860 locally owned offices, you'll find one near you at expresspros.com.
Each year, more than 70,000 businesses turn to Express to manage their hiring.
Make the most of your time and leave recruiting and hiring to the experts at Express.
Visit expresspros.com today.
It's 2024 and stress is already everywhere.
Deadlines at work.
Your kid's screaming at you.
Non-stop traffic.
The world is ending.
That's a big jump there, Ryder.
Yeah, sorry, kind of true.
Yeah, well, when we want to get away from the struggles of everyday life and have some comforting me time, we break into some Keebler Sandies.
Let's say it's finals week and Mr. Feeny has scheduled all of the tests into one day. How will Topanga find a comforting moment to herself?
Go to the mall?
Not with this hair.
Play guitar with her father, Jedediah?
Depends on which Jedediah.
Bite into some delicious Keebler Sandies?
Exactly. Keebler Sandies are buttery shortbread cookies made with simple ingredients.
And each Keebler Sandies cookie is baked to perfection by the adorable Keebler elves for a light sweetness and texture that melts in your mouth.
God bless those little Keebler elves.
When you need a comforting moment for yourself, Keebler Sandies is the perfect treat that will keep you going.
So, the next time you feel like you're juggling it all, reach for a Keebler Sandies shortbread cookie to enjoy a simple moment of comfort.
Tell the elves Pod Meets World sent ya.
They're real. I've seen them.
Okay,
in the bedroom with Will.
Yes, oh my we're. God.
This is where spill on aisle seven.
Is it six or seven?
I don't know. I wrote down. Okay, I just remember,
if you wrote it down, then it's seven.
But I do remember this was one of those lines we used to say all the time.
All the time. Yeah, it was. And it was just like Eric's. Like, I had to box things today.
It was half a shift.
Half a shift. Yeah, it was. It was crazy. We hadn't really found the Eric Matthews character yet.
Nope.
So none of us, myself, the writers, we didn't know.
You just
kind of
like generic teen.
Yeah, yeah. Exactly. Yeah. Insert teen. Teen at work here, you know, right. Teen lying on bed, tired kind of thing.
But also, if you think about it, like teen has been at school. Teen is still, or I guess maybe it's summer. Were you not in school?
Do they really? No, it must have been because Corey,
you were in the cafeteria.
And,
yeah.
They were
so
in
you had gone to school. Yeah. You were also working. I'm assuming the water war was a weekend, but still like. Working half a shift when you're 15,
sure.
You were 16 years old,
sure.
It is kind of from your perspective, you do feel like, oh, I'm exhausted.
Of course, yeah. Nobody's ever worked this hard in their life.
Yeah, man, my feet are killing me.
But it was also, that was at this point, other than a line here or there, Eric was the bedroom.
Yes.
I mean, that was it. It was like my brother's in that room. Yes, that's it. That was the blocking. It was like, yeah.
And you didn't like that set, huh?
I didn't like that set.
I don't think I liked that set either.
I didn't like that set.
It was an uncomfortable set, I remember.
It was an uncomfortable set. It was also logistically, and I know this sounds ridiculous, it was all the way down at the end of the stage. Mm-hmm. It was not in front of the audience.
It's small.
It was
there's just not that much room, and there's two beds in the middle of it, and a desk.
And it wasn't until later that we actually started to utilize the entire set, like using the bathroom, like the entering and exiting out of the bathroom.
Crawling in and out of the window.
Like using the entire set. It was usually just, that was like, okay, Eric, put Eric in the bedroom, Eric bedroom set. So it was, and then I'd come down and have one line like, oh, that's right, you play my dad. And then I'd walk out and then they'd have a scene. So it was, everybody's still finding themselves, still the world's finding themselves.
And we get another through the window shot. Well, in the last episode, it was from the treehouse into Feeny's.
Yep.
But now we get from the bedroom window down into the backyard where we see Alan is still painting. It's sundown. The water war's over and he's still painting.
Super dad.
And that conversation that I didn't even write down because I didn't think it was important to the episode from the cold open about what kind of which superhero would you want your dad to be? comes back.
Just killed me.
Me too. I actually teared up.
I teared up too. They didn't drop. Okay, so we should keep track.
Yeah, I didn't.
I'm sure I'm going to cry.
A tear did not fall.
A tear did not fall. My eyes welled up and I found myself kind of embarrassed and I didn't know if I wanted Indy to see.
But
it didn't drop down to the cheek yet. I'm sure that'll happen. Okay. But let's we'll keep track.
Keeping track.
I'm glad you cried too. I thought I was just like the biggest softie.
No, I totally welled up.
World.
I'm welling up thinking about it now.
Okay, one well up. We got one well up. People.
One well up. One well up.
One well up. No tear drop, but one well up if you're keeping tally out there.
We're going to get to Ugly Cry by season 7.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, the bear episode was just so sweet.
The honey
coming in and
oh my God.
But it was just so touching. And again, talking about the blocking, I think that's just, I love that we utilized the different, you know, from the window into the backyard, from the treehouse into Feeney's yard, seeing you under the sink.
Away. I don't remember a lot of those later. I think that was early and that was it.
Well, see, I know. I think it was better.
We'll have to see. We could be wrong. We could be like, oh my God, they're in every episode. How do we not remember this?
And then we get into the last scene of the show, which is just, again, another the welling up continued for me into this scene where you get to see little 12-year-old Corey be so thoughtful. He has turned in his big water gun that he wanted so badly. He has turned it in for two smaller water guns because he saw earlier in the episode that his dad thought the water gun was cool. And he wants them to play together with it. And he's got it under the table. Yeah. And I loved, Rusty, your performance, especially in this scene, because I was thinking it was going to be a very, oh, wow, water gun, ha, ha, ha. And now they're just spraying it in my head as a mom who is, you know, hey, not in the house. That's definitely the kind of parent I am. That was your reaction. You didn't find out right away that there was a water gun and think,
right.
Oh, sure, this is all fun. Look for TV. We're just going to have a water fight in the house. You're like, no, we don't do this here.
And Corey has to make an argument.
Corey has to really make an argument about visiting.
You're a chicken to your side of the table.
Yeah, and visiting childhood again. That idea that you don't ever get to go back to it to live, but you can come and visit it over here. You can visit childhood again. What do you remember about this water fight scene? Was it, did you guys practice during rehearsal? Did you actually do it for run through?
I don't think we used real water guns.
It wasn't like a big technical thing.
Right.
I mean, you have four cameras. They're going to see everything you're doing.
Yeah.
No, I think it was, we were excited about, I mean, to me, that's the fun.
Yeah.
You know, let's do the unthinkable or maybe the different, you know, and let's just do it. And a lot of times stuff like that, behavior comes out of the action. You know, you're actually doing it, shooting, getting wet. That was always the fun for me in this show, was to try actually doing half the stuff we did.
Yeah.
You know, the actual doing of it. So I'm always ready to do that, as long as wardrobe's ready.
Yeah, exactly. Three sets of clothes.
And the camera guys are ready.
Yeah.
No, it was fun.
I love the scene. And then I love the joke too, that he's like, well, mom, why don't you look under your seat? Yeah. And she's like, there's nothing there. He goes, what do you think? I'm made of money?
What am I made of money? Yeah.
That was so good in this scene.
So
Ben
great.
Cracked me up. Oh my God.
So funny.
We should have mentioned from the scene before I wrote it down. I think they tried to make it a thing. Ben always going, you do? That tried to be a thing for a while.
That's right.
He did that for like one or two episodes, and I think they went, all right, that's not going to be a thing.
Wait, what was that? When did
he says that back with the...
In the bedroom with you, right?
Is it in the bedroom with
or
me?
Or somewhere.
Yes, yeah. It's, let's see,
I do remember. They were always trying to like find catchphrases. There's a couple times in the next few episodes where he puts his hands on his shoulder or puts his hands on his hips and says, I'm such and such a boy.
Yeah.
But they tried to make you do a thing too.
You do.
Like
that's
he did
right.
That. Yeah.
I remember.
Also, didn't they try and do you think?
You think? We tried to do that. We were one of the first people to do you think. And then they're like, nah. We tried catchphrases and then the catchphrase.
What are you new?
Yeah.
Remember that?
What are you new? That was another one. And then the catchphrases that actually lasted, we didn't even know were catchphrases.
Which is the way it works.
Which is how it works.
But it's interesting. Yeah. Like in retrospect, I would never, it just shows Michael Jacobs' experience that like, if we can get a catchphrase, it'd be good.
Because
it gives you a touchstone.
Branding before branding.
Exactly. Yeah.
Okay, so then it turns into a whole family water fight.
And the hose comes back. And the leaky hose that doesn't, it was weak water. But since Alan fixed it, now it's being used against him. So great. Yep.
Exactly. So and great. You see
Betsy grabs it.
Full circle.
The parents relax and we let the water fight start in the house and then it runs out into the backyard. And we have a tag. I love a good tag.
Yes.
This was a great perfect tag.
She was really, really good in this tag, yes. I thought.
She
I thought
is absolutely
Lily
adorable
great.
The way she crosses her legs. She yep. has the phone, so thanks to Indy from our segment Too
How
Much Shirts.
How did she get the phone?
How did she get the phone?
That's a good question.
Unless yeah. it's on the counter.
I don't think it's on the counter.
How did she get on the counter? Did we see somebody?
You put
her
on the counter.
I put her on the
somebody
counter?
Puts okay. her on the counter and then they run outside.
Uh-huh,
and
okay.
so she's stuck there. That's why she calls 911.
Right.
But Indy was right. How did yeah. she get the phone?
Yeah,
how
did she get the phone?
It was in her pocket already.
Yeah,
that huge phone,
enormous phone
with a giant antenna.
Phone.
Yeah, and
they
then she
just
calls,
shot the neighbor.
Yeah,
like the
they
way
just,
her delivery was just hysterical. I thought, oh man,
yeah, this was kill. Indy was dying during this scene. We were
she
just
was great.
Laughing
she
so
was great.
Hard. Lily Nixon.
Yeah, they just shot the neighbor is a classic one. That and the you deserve every inch of that C+ I gave you in math are two of my favorite lines from that episode. Well, Rusty. You're a gem.
Oh. Thank you for joining us.
Yeah, thanks for coming.
Do you have any final thoughts?
You guys,
do you have any final thoughts
me.
On the episode or just about the whole experience
world.
In general?
I'm eternally grateful to work with you guys and the writers and being a part of it. It's been as thrilling and as wonderful an experience as I could not possibly imagine.
Yeah, I was
going to
say you yeah. must not have when it started. I mean,
no
you were
idea.
Like, "Oh, what is this sitcom?"
I had no
yeah.
idea. But that's
I think
what
all of
I
us
always say.
That.
You know, yeah. you never know. You have to try things.
Dorby
and I was
Dorby.
Dorby.
I'm sorry, but that line is still resonating with me from the last episode. What Rusty said: yeah. you can bang your head all day long against Dorby, and if Dorby opens and you don't go into it, then you're an idiot. And
yeah. yeah,
absolutely true. That has stuck with me since he
you
said it.
You have to be brave.
That's
life
I love
is
that.
About being brave.
Sometimes it's about taking door B.
Sometimes it's about taking door B.
And we all benefited from your door B. That's
yeah.
for sure.
Yeah, thank
oh my God.
God. You took door B. Oh man, thank
yeah,
God.
Again, my privilege. My privilege.
Well, you made it a lot easier on a lot of us young actors out there. Mm-hmm. Taught us how to. That's one of the things I've constantly told people is that you and Bill and Betsy. Really taught us how to be, helped to teach us how to be professionals, helped
yeah.
to teach us how to still have fun. And it would often, the lessons you were teaching as Alan often mirrored in the lessons that you taught us on the set. So yeah. I love you. And I'm just so glad that you were there for all of this.
Speaking
frankly.
Of Bill is our next podcast
Ooh,
guest.
Yes.
Ooh, he is going to be joining us for episode number 103, Father Knows Less. That sounds like another Alan Matthews episode.
Wow.
Yeah, so Bill and Bonnie will be joining us for episode 103, Father Knows Less.
Crazy.
Also, a special thank you to Kyle from Typhoon, who is responsible for yes. our wonderful Pod Meets World theme song.
Yeah, Kyle Morton of the band Typhoon, who I've been friends with for a good 10 years at this point.
He played at your wedding. I was there.
At my wedding. Well, that's where I met him. It's a long story, but yeah.
He played at your wedding.
He's incredible. He's a musical genius.
You directed a music video for them?
I directed a music video for them last year.
They're a great band.
They're
amazing.
Insane.
They're
yeah,
amazing.
I mean, and his writing is just next level. Both lyrically insane, but I also, musically, he is incredible and has written stuff for me before. And I was like, hey, could you possibly come up with something for our podcast? And he did it in like 2 days. And
yeah.
I'm so thankful.
When we started talking about what we wanted for a theme song,
yeah.
writer immediately had a great, just a bunch of ideas. And he was like, I think we could do this and it could be kind of weird and reminiscent and nostalgic and da la la. And he was yeah. like, I'm going to see if Kyle wants to do it. And then he turned that around for us in less than 24 hours.
Yes. It was also yeah. like, Ryder, what, that's a very jumbly. What could you possibly, what could all those things, how would somebody put that in a song?
And then bam.
And then like 2 days later, I was like, oh, that's exactly what Ryder's talking about.
It's funny because I played it for, you know, a couple people and I was like, what does this make you think of? Like not telling them what the context was. And some of the answers I got were, it makes me think of the 90s.
Wow.
Which I was like, really? And then another person was like, it has this like early 2000s sort of filtered sound, like something is coming. Yeah, I was like, that's it. That's what I said.
That's what we're looking for.
Yeah, because I told Kyle, I was like, could it sound like we're listening to the past coming into the present? like a theme song from the past coming into the present, and he nailed
it. He really nailed it. So thank you to Kyle Morton of Typhoon for our theme song. Be sure to join us on Instagram, Pod Meets World Show, and also send us your emails. Send us your questions, your thoughts, feedback on the show, what you want to hear more of, what you want to hear less of. All right, fine, I'll shut up. It's podmeetsworldshow@gmail.com. And yeah, next week, Bill Daniels, episode number 103, Father Knows Less. We'll see you there. Ooh, I get to say it this time, don't I?
It's your turn. One more thanks to Rusty, though, for joining us.
Thank you, Rusty.
Thank you, guys.
We love you all. Pod dismissed. Pod Meets World is an iHeart podcast produced and hosted by Danielle Fishel, Will Friedle, and Ryder Strong. Executive producers Jensen Karp and Amy Sugarman. Executive in charge of production, Danielle Romo. Producer and editor, Tara Sudbakhsh. Producer, Lorraine Verwez. Engineer and Boy Meets World superfan, Easton Allen. Our theme song is by Kyle Morton of Typhoon. Follow us on Instagram at PodMeetsWorldShow or email us at PodMeetsWorldShow@gmail.com.
This episode is brought to you by Huggies Little Movers.
Listen, Huggies knows that babies come in all shapes and sizes, and so do their tushies.
Especially when they start really moving.
With Huggies Little Movers, you get their best-fitting diaper with its curved and stretchy fit.
That's right. So no matter what kind of mover you've got, they'll feel protected and comfy while their little tushy wiggles and jiggles all around.
Huggies Little Movers has curves designed to fit all baby curves and helps provide up to 12-hour protection against leaks.
So make the switch to Huggies Little Movers today.
We got you, baby.
When it comes to Pod Meets World, we're synonymous with two things. Watching our younger selves on a TV show from 30 years ago and loving Hyundai.
The first ever fully electric Hyundai Ioniq 5.
With up to 303-mile range, available two-way charging, and other category-defining features, the fully electric Hyundai Ioniq 5 is one of the most teched-out electric vehicles ever.
And as you know, we are tech heads.
The standard ultra-fast charging capability gives you an 80% charge in just 18 minutes when using a 250-plus kilowatt DC fast charger.
And with the available two-way charging, you can charge larger electronic equipment inside and outside the car, backyard or side yard.
Hyundai, it's your journey. Learn more at HyundaiUSA.com.
Call 562-314-4603 for complete details. 2024 Ioniq 5 rear-wheel drive has an EPA estimated driving range of up to 303 miles. Actual range will vary with options, driving conditions and habits, vehicle and batteries condition, and other factors. Available in limited quantities and select states only.
With the Wells Fargo Active Cash Credit Card, you can earn unlimited 2% cash rewards on purchases you want and purchases you need.
That means you earn on what you want, like trying out that new workout class.
And 2% cash rewards on what you need, like a foam roller for your sore muscles.
That's the beauty of the Active Cash Credit Card. It's ready when you are with unlimited 2% cash rewards.
The Wells Fargo Active Cash Credit Card. That's real life ready.
Terms apply. Learn more at wellsfargo.com/activecash.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp.
It's a simple truth. No matter who you are, mental health challenges can affect you, and how you manage them can make all the difference.
That's why everyone should have access to mental health support that meets them where they are and helps them get through.
BetterHelp provides online therapy on your schedule. It's flexible, simple to use, and more affordable than in-person therapy.
Connect with a licensed therapist selected just for you.
Learn more at BetterHelp.com. That's BetterHelp.com.